Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I will be talking about the yield and stability performance of peas and lentils in Montana. Why these pulse crops in Montana is that they have economic, social, and environmental significance towards sustainability. For instance, in 2010, in the northeast part of Montana, growing of cool season legumes, including peas, lentils, and chickpea, generate about $102 million a year. And from this, $85 million was through the marketing of the actual food legumes. And the remaining $70 million comes from the rotational benefit because of growing the legumes for the first year. So when we see the trend in US, in this graph, the x-axis shows you the year, and on the y-axis I have the area. So when you see the graph, the history tells North Dakota was leading in terms of cool season food legumes production. But after 2012, 2011, Montana is taking the lead in United States in relation to food legume, cool season food legume production area. The same story about the amount of produce in metric tons. We have years on the x-axis and amount of produce on the y-axis. So historically, North Dakota was the leading producer in U.S. for peas and lentils and chickpeas altogether summed. But after 2012, Montana is leading producer of cool season legumes in the United States. So all this indicates that there is a potential of growing these pulse crops in Montana. What is the trend in the next 5 to 15 years is that the actual farming practice in Montana is fallow followed by winter wheat, 1 year fallow, next year winter wheat. So there is a suggestion that if we replace 25% of the fallow in the next 5 to 15 years, it will generate about $243 million annually because of growing these crops. And from this total, 207 million comes from actual marketing of the pulse crops, and the remaining balance comes from the rotational benefit from the next year. So to achieve this potential, there is a need for variety development and to generate or develop agronomic management practice that increase the productivity of these crops. So the objective of this experiment was to evaluate the different varieties of dry pea and lentil across Montana and to see their yield performance and stability in Montana. So I'm not a breeder, don't expect me to answer if you have breeding question. I work as a cropping system agronomist. So we have a cropping system. As I said, the cropping system is fallow winter wheat. We are trying to replace that fallow with different kinds of crop and species to make the system more productive in terms of various issues. So I am presenting as an agronomist in evaluating these crops. Actually, we work with breeders from different organizations and seed companies, including North Dakota State University, Montana State University, and seed companies from US and Canada. So we get the seed from the different organizations, the seed companies and the breeders, and we package them and try to plant them across Montana and see their yield performance. And at the end of the year, we produce annual report and distribute that annual report to different stakeholders. And that annual report is really used by different policy makers, statisticians for database management, also for insurance companies, for crop insurance. So this is really the most important project that we are doing in Montana, and the state has given due attention for this pulse crop production in Montana. So we have 8 experiment sites, as seen in this. Amsterdam is located close to Bozeman, and Conrad is in Western Triangle, and Corvallis is in the west of Montana, and Christian is northwest of Montana, and Havre is northwest of Montana. Huntley is south of Montana, and Moccasin is at the center of Montana, and Richland is a grower field where we use to represent the east of Montana. So they have different soil texture and elevation, and also the precipitation for each year and each site is different. So just to give you an idea where these sites are located. So if we start from the east, we have Richland here, very close to Canada. We do the experiment on producer field, and we also have these different research centers. They cooperate with us, we package the seed and send them to the collaboratives, and they plant the seed and they harvest and they send us the data. And I actually work at the Central Agriculture Research Center located out here, and I am trying to coordinate the whole activity and produce a report at the end of the day. So we believe that this research center started all over Montana represents the state. So we have 4 yellow and 4 green RIPE varieties included in this variety evaluation, and totally 8 varieties of RIPE in 21 environments. When we say environments, it's a combination of the site with specific year. So the combination of the site with the specific year produce a distinctive environment. So we have 21 environments for these 8 genotypes. So we have this DS Admiral, Cruiser, Delta, CDC Golden, Majorod, SW, Midas, Stirling, CDC Striker. There are 4 of them are yellow and 4 of them are green. And as you can see, most of them are coming from outside US. We have 12 varieties and lines of lentil for this experiment in 8 environments. So most of them are released from US, USDA, IRS, Grain Legume located at Washington, and some of them from Canada and some of them US. So we have this variety code and the varieties in trees included in the experiment are indicated in the first column. We use RCBDM for replication. As I said, we have different sites, so the plot size vary from site to site, depends on land availability and machinery. And we harvested with plot combiner all the trials, and we adjusted the yield, the grain yield, at 30% moisture content before statistical analysis. So when you go to data analysis, there are several statistical package recommended by various people. They have their own advantage and disadvantage, but AMI, the additive main effect and multiplicative interaction, is widely used because it helps to break down the interaction of gene by environment into principal components that can tell or better predict the performance of a genotype in a specific environment. So the model of this AMI is given and indicated in this formula, where we have the yield of, for instance, the genotype I in environment J is given by the grand mean, the gene mean, environmental mean, plus the interaction and the residual. So the power of AMI is this interaction mean, where it tells or it predicts the performance of a genotype in a specific environment. So when we go to the result, the environment, as you can see in this alpha table, the environment and the gene by environment interaction was significant, and they accounted substantial portion of the total sum of squares. And this gene by environment interaction was break down into principal components. So the first and the second principal component was significant also and account substantial portion of that gene by environment interaction sum of the square. This is the mean interaction between environment and genotype. So if you see this, the last row, the genotype G4, golden, CDC golden was the highest yielding, and the least was G8, genotype 8, or CDC striker, producing about 2.52 ton per hectare. When we see the mean for the environment, Western Triangle in 2009 was producing 3.96 tons of grain compared to the other, and the least recorded grain yield was from Moccasin in 2011. So in this graph, on the x-axis we have the yield, and the y-axis we have the first principal component. And this vertical line at the middle of the graph shows you the grand mean. Those genotypes in environments to the right of these vertical lines are better yielder than the rest. And those genotypes in the environment close to the horizontal line, principal component is equal to C. Principal component is equal to zero indicate stability. They are highly stable. This is another graph drawn, principal component 1 versus principal component 2, to identify the mega environment. So drawing two lines between two genotypes and another line perpendicular to that line produce a sector that helps to indicate, identify mega environments. So in this experiment we identify 5 mega environments because of the different sectors. Result for Lenter is the same thing. The environment, gene by environment interaction account substantial portion of the total sum of the square, and the first and the second principal component also account the highest sum square for genotype by environmental interaction. So we can talk about those principal components to explain yield performance and stability of the genotypes. This is the mean for the genotype by environment. So Avondale is a new variety was the highest yielding, and Crimson was the least yielding. As far as the environment is concerned, Northern Arc in 2010 was producing the maximum yield, and the least was obtained from Western Triangle in 2010. This is the same thing like peas, where we have yield on the x-axis and principal component 1 on the y-axis. So all those varieties and environment on the right of this vertical line at the center of the graph indicate they are better yielder, and those environments and genotype at this close to principal component is equal to 1, is equal to 0, represent stability. This is also how we can identify the mega environment in the experiment by drawing a graph, principal component 1 against principal component 2. So we identify about 5 environments, mega environments. So in conclusion, the total sum squared explained by environment and gene by environment interaction was so huge. So it indicates the higher variability of soil and climatic condition across Montana. So it may tell you that there is a need to develop a variety or a genotype specific to each environment. Genotype by environment interaction was a crossover type, and it is related to dynamic stability. And the less, when we take the sum square, genotype explain less of the sum square indicates that there is a need for further research to develop better varieties that can outshine the existing one. CDC Golden and Majorot from yellow and green group of P respectively were the best for general adaptation, and Avondale medium green lentil was the best as far as lentil production for that state is concerned for wide adaptation. So we acknowledge technical support from the Department of Research Centers and funding from MSU and the different seed companies. Thanks for attending, and if you have any questions, comments, welcome.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but you'll be around in the session. So let's thank Yusuf for his first talk.